is that wonderful parable of the mustard seed. Back in 1989, a man was rooting around a flea market in Adamstown, Pennsylvania. Eventually, he made up his mind to purchase an old painting for $4. The painting itself was pretty awful, a dismal, dark country scene, complete with a signature at the bottom, which couldn't even be made out. But it appeared to have a gilded and ornately carved frame, which was what appealed to the buyer. So he returned home and started taking the painting apart to get the frame, when he discovered something hidden in behind the canvas. It was a folded document, which was evidently very old. Carefully opening it up, the man discovered that it was, in fact, a copy of the Declaration of Independence, being one of only 24 copies made on Independence Day, July 4th, 1776, it ended up selling at auction for $2.4 million. You see, things are not always as they appear. And this is precisely Jesus' point about the kingdom of God. This wonderful little parable teaches us that appearances can be deceiving. God's kingdom may at first seem to be worthless and insignificant and pretty feeble, but in the end, it will prove to be mighty and expansive and glorious. Just two short, simple lessons. Firstly, God's kingdom starts small. God's kingdom starts small. The focus of this parable and the one before it is the kingdom of God. But what exactly is that? Well, put simply, the kingdom of God is the redemptive rule and reign of God in Christ. It's the realm of salvation. And here our Lord wants to explain what that actually looks like. Now, I would have expected Jesus to compare his kingdom to grand and glorious things. So I can imagine him saying, well, the kingdom of God is like a mighty mountain range in its strength. Or the kingdom of God is like the ocean in its width and depth. But surprisingly here, he compares it to something that is very small, very humble, very ordinary. A mustard seed. Seems very strange. You see, the mustard seed in Jesus' day was proverbial for something exceedingly small and easily overlooked. This then was a shocking comparison, but it was also an accurate one. Think about it. Think about Jesus himself, the one who had come to announce and inaugurate this kingdom. What humble beginnings. Entering the world as a feeble infant, born in a lowly manger without riches or armies or attendants or power. Then think about the disciples, those who belonged to the kingdom. So few in number, just ordinary, poor, uneducated, weak men. And then think about the world around them. Compared to all the other religions and the cults in the Roman Empire, well, the kingdom of God was so small, so insignificant, it was almost invisible. Jesus was right, wasn't he? The kingdom of God really was like a mustard seed. And brothers and sisters, perhaps as we consider the kingdom today, well, if we're honest, it still looks pretty small and weak and insignificant. There can be no doubt about it. We are living in the day of small things. Opposition to the gospel in the West is growing. Many churches are in decline. New converts to Christ, well, they seem so few and far between, don't they? Think about your own situation, your own work and witness for the Lord. For most of us, the cold, hard reality is that often we see little or no fruit for all our labors for Christ. We try to speak a word for Jesus in our workplace, and we try to teach our children and grandchildren the truths of the Bible, and we try to keep on praying faithfully, but for all our efforts, we've got so little to show. And perhaps as time has passed, we've grown really discouraged. But our Lord would have us remember that His kingdom is like a mustard seed. He wants us to grasp that His kingdom grows quietly, slowly, often imperceptibly, below the surface, in a host of unseen ways. That's the nature of God's kingdom. That's how Christ normally builds His church. That's how the Lord usually does His work. So be encouraged. God is at work. And He loves to take your stammering tongue and your feeble service and your faltering prayers to make His kingdom grow. So let me encourage you. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Keep sowing the seed. Keep teaching your kids. Keep loving your neighbor. Keep on praying for the lost. Because God delights to bring great results out of small beginnings. So God's kingdom starts small. Secondly, then, God's kingdom spreads spectacularly. Now in verse 32, Jesus explains that from this smallest of seeds comes the largest of garden plants. You see, this minuscule mustard seed in time will grow to almost 10 feet tall. And as it grows, it spreads its foliage out so widely that the birds can build their nests there. And it's just like that with the kingdom of God. It began to grow from the first day of Pentecost, and it grew with staggering speed and power, didn't it? It grew when 3,000 souls were converted all at once, and 5,000 more a few days later. It grew in Antioch, and Ephesus, and Philippi, and Corinth, and Rome. It spread over the greater part of Europe, Asia Minor, North Africa, and even infiltrated the heart of the Roman Empire. And it has continued to spread and extend, outgrowing and outliving every other empire this world has ever known. And that's just what Jesus said would happen. That's what He means when He says the birds will perch in its shade. He's quoting from Ezekiel 17, verse 23, explaining that the birds, the nations of the world, will enter and enjoy His kingdom. And my friends, this great gospel growth will continue unabated until one day when all His people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will shout the praises of Christ our King. And on that day, that glorious final day, the kingdom that began as a little mustard seed will finally be in full bloom. Brothers and sisters, we know how this story ends. The last line is already written. Christianity will win. Evil will be destroyed. And Jesus will reign. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the sure, the certain future that awaits us, the people of God. Now I ask you, doesn't that put some fire in your belly? Some steel in your bones? Doesn't that encourage your heart? Especially as we think about our loved ones who are still outside the Lord. Especially as we think much wider, think about countries like Spain where the needs are so vast. But you see, we can play our part in this grand missionary enterprise with confidence, with courage. We can be bold and brave. We can pray expectantly. We can give extravagantly. We can even give up our very lives and go to the mission field. Why? Because the Lord is sovereign. And Christ is building. And the Spirit is moving. And nothing and no one will stop our great God. Not even global pandemics. Isn't that good news? So let's press on. Let me encourage you. Start of a new church season. Redouble your efforts. Recommit yourself to the work of the gospel. And do it all for the honor and the glory of Christ, our great King. Amen. Amen.